donate to the nonprofit radio station that you love. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, kpft.org online. Thank you.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to a regular-ish edition to Technology Bites, for Technology Bites, of Technology Bites, by Technology Bites. Technology Bites.
Play the thing. I know I don't have to do my intro anymore.
Whoa, he's live. Our recording is taken on sentience.
I know you have me saying this is Jay Lee recorded already, so you can just play that for going forward. All right, well, he's not going to do it.
It was Pete.
Yeah, Pete had it. Pete's not online.
Oh.
Now I don't know which system he's going to be on, and he's not on Skype, evidently.
The phone's here going crazy. Everything's just set busy.
It's the...
No idea what that means.
It's just the thing. It's messed up.
It's just messed up. That's all.
Jay's back from the land
of
smog.
Donate
and Hobbits.
KPFT.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
Apparently, we're having trouble getting Pete on. Surprise. And Lee has begged off tonight because of responsibilities. So I think he's afraid to face me.
We all have a turkey to cook.
He messed up the show real bad while you were gone. We were great, but Lee...
Really?
Kind of.
How was Eric Berger?
I missed that. Boston for that.
Oh, we need to have him back on again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did it go well?
He's a good host. He's a good guest. He's a good guest, yes.
Did he seem like he had a good time?
I couldn't see him from in here, but it seemed like he had a good time. He's a very knowledgeable character.
knowledgeable.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's got a lot of stuff to talk about.
All right. Well, we're going to work on getting Peter Hughes on the program tonight because we like Peter.
And yes.
We want him to be on the show.
Peter's good.
So, in the meantime, you can visit us online at geekradio.com. That's our website, geekradio.com. You can hang out on IRC with us. The channel is irc.cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo.
And the channel is Tech Bytes.
Tech Bytes.
Oh, see, somebody upgraded the Groove House while I was gone. So we have that going for us. You can hang out there. And it's the show within a show.
Ever, 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 ever.
I see. You got it working.
We didn't upgrade Flicted.
No?
We tried, but yeah, he's out of warranty.
He's way out of warranty.
He's been EOL'd.
I saw that Flicted had updated his Facebook
page. EOS. Sorry, EOS.
That he had taken of his family.
No, not me.
Yeah, well, it was on your Facebook page. And it was pictures of your family and your shadow, which indicated you might have been the cameraman.
Really? I didn't take any pictures, but somebody else posted some pictures that I may or may not have been in.
You weren't in these photos. I thought.
Involved with taking.
I thought you had taken these pictures. Let's see. Now I got to go look. Oh, never mind. Sorry. It was Leah Buckley.
Yeah.
That must be Leah's shadow. I thought it was you. I wasn't paying that close attention. I thought, hey, Flicked his webpage. Facebook page is updated.
That's good. Because, yeah.
Otherwise, somebody hacked your phone.
No, and I didn't know she was taking. I knew she was taking pictures. I just didn't know that I was going to be in any of them. Small and very, very far away.
You're not in any of them. I assumed.
No, I am.
Are you? There you are. Yeah, he doesn't look happy. Why are you taking that picture? I have hardly had time to prepare. No, I thought this one, that was your shadow, for example.
Oh, okay.
You know, kind of black and round and not in the photo, really. So that was you, as far as I was concerned. All right, so how goes it with getting Pete on the show? I guess not good.
Huh, it should have been good.
Huh. As Groovehouse would say. Well, I hope you guys had a good time while I was gone. I sure had a good time not being here.
You probably had the better time. We had a good time.
Yeah. I think you had the better time.
I think I had the better time. So I suppose the first thing we should mention here is that we are doing what we are calling an undrive. So we're not going to spend the next 2 hours begging you for money. But we do want to draw to your attention the fact that KPFT is doing a little kind of quiet fundraiser to make up some slack for the end of the year. Let's see, undrive. See if I can find the text on this. There it is. All right. So we have it set up. I'm sure it's at kpft.org where you can go, and we have some great things that we want to give you, and there's a chance to win. There's a raffle, which actually is kind of interesting. I think it's like $20 a ticket, which is a raffle to win a free trip to New York to be on the Amy Goodman show. You won't get interviewed. I think you just get to watch it. Unless you're like, you know, the kind of person who should be interviewed by Amy Goodman. In which case, you probably aren't going to enter a raffle.
Plus airfare. Yeah, it's dinner and a show for two plus airfare to get you up there.
Oh.
Yeah, so basically, we managed to acquire this little package here, and you can buy one ticket for $20, or you can buy six tickets for $100.
Or 12 for $200.
I suppose
I'm just flaunting my math ability, that's all.
You're showing off now.
I'm just showing off. I'm waiting for... There's Pete!
All right. Hello, Pete!
Hello.
So glad you could be here.
Cool. Did you guys do the Geektacular intro?
No.
Yes.
No.
What? No.
Maybe.
No, we did not. We
did the Where's Pete intro. We did the We're Trying to Get Pete on the Air intro.
Did you send that to Flicked?
Do we still have that somewhere?
Yes.
Is it?
Dun, dun, dun.
I guess we didn't do it, and we don't really know how to do it. Is it online somewhere?
Yeah, it's on the show prep.
It's on the show prep, and I think you did since. I'm sorry. As far as my body and my brain is concerned, it's 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, you've only been on the ground for a few short hours.
I got in last night about 10 o'clock, so I am not playing with any more full deck than I was playing with before. So, yeah. So I did not quite catch on to that I had any responsibilities other than to show up tonight.
No, you really don't. You just need to be here.
All right. Well, do we have a – it is the day before Thanksgiving.
Gobble, so gobble.
We're a bunch of turkeys, that's for sure.
Uh-oh.
What is Flicked looking at?
He's like looking at a red screen of death from the Geek Radio website.
What?
Is he?
Yeah, it says. Yeah.
It's techbytes.com.
Oh. That's not us, is it?
Really?
That's not us, is it?
No.
No. You scared Pete. I want you to know that.
We had technologybytes.com.
We still have technology bytes.
Yes,
right. I continue to keep those domains alive. But techbytes.com, Google
wants to install malware on
Google Chrome
computer.
Says the site ahead
see what it is.
Malware. I want to see what it is because I'm running a Mac.
Come on in. Water's fine.
Uh-oh, it's a Mac.
Oh, there's some good. There is some good Mac stuff out there that's starting to get out there. But it's still really hard.
Oh, I think he found it.
I did. I wasn't sure if my computer would play it without me messing with, but evidently it will. So you want me to play the
yes,
the intro?
Why not?
Okay, so none of this ever happened.
No, we go back.
We actually haven't started the show yet.
Okay, welcome to Technology Bytes.
No, it's even before then.
Even before that. The
intro music is just now fading out.
If you're listening to this on the podcast, you're probably still full from the turkey you already ate.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Technology Bytes Thanksgiving Holiday Geektacular with your hosts, Jay Lee and Peter Hughes. On tonight's show, avoiding holiday photos with Flicted, cool geek events with Barrett, make it a Soylent Thanksgiving with Lee Hutchinson from Ars Technica, and not appearing on tonight's show, Groove House, Dean Martin, Steve Jobs, MC Frontalot, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and many more. And now, here's the crew who are going to stuff this turkey for the next 2 hours. Take it away, guys.
It's funny because Steve Jobs is dead.
Wait, no, Dean Martin.
So he definitely won't be here.
Hold on, whose voice was that?
What?
I thought Groove House wasn't here. We can't trust Flicted's promos. And where's Lee? So confusing.
It was all a big lie.
So yep. Confusing.
I want to believe.
You can still believe.
That all was right. Awesome. That was done just for this year?
No, that was done like
that was last year.
Last
year's
okay.
Thanksgiving.
I wasn't here.
Evidently you weren't.
I guess not. I wonder where I was.
Who knows? All right, welcome to the show.
I pulled a Lee.
Ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bump. All right, so at any rate, welcome to the show. We're glad you could tune in. And I am going to let Pete talk now because I'm going to go to sleep.
Get you a blanket,
no.
Sir.
I can't get you a blanket.
He wasn't coming over the air earlier. And then he started working, and now he's not working again.
Oh, so we lost Pete?
No,
so I'm on my own?
He's there, and I can see, like, perfect. When he talks, it just doesn't get onto the air.
All the things are plugged in.
Now can you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
I fixed it.
You fixed it.
Go flicked it.
I broke it. And I helped.
I'm helping.
Perfect shot.
Awesome.
All right, so as we mentioned, Lee's not here, neither is Steve Jobs. Groove House may or may not be here.
Is Lee here like Steve Jobs isn't here?
No.
Not in this, well, we don't, hopefully not. Hopefully.
As far as we know, Lee is still alive.
I just wasn't sure because the way you said it. Lee isn't here.
Lee's in the Bill Gates column, not the Dean Martin column.
Lee's no longer with us.
Or the MC Frontalot column. He is not appearing tonight on the show.
It's just us, so you're welcome. All right. Well, I guess what we could do is we've given out the IRC stuff. We've talked about the website. We've mentioned the UnDrive, which you should go to kpft.org and make a donation, help the station make some money. That would be nice. Do that. We got some. I think we might have a promo or something we're supposed to play for that later, which we'll do. And
whoa,
what? Did you not check the?
No, it just says we're supposed to do it at 20 and 40.
20 and 40.
We're a little early. We're on top of our game.
Well, we haven't done it yet. It's not 20 yet.
Oh, I thought this. There are multiple things you have to do
around that time. Flicked.
You want to do that, and then we'll do the news. How about we do that and do the news?
We can't. I mean, there's nothing to play.
There's nothing to play. We just do it. Okay. Well, we did it.
We just do it.
All right.
Yeah, we're done.
All right.
For the next 20.
Get back to you in 20 or 26.
Looks like we got us a convoy.
we're trying to take a relaxed attitude towards fundraising and just be confident that our listeners will help support the radio station.
Well, and if this works, then you'll probably, as a listener, you probably would have more of this. In other words, less time taken 100% from fundraising and more time with programming.
That would be awesome. So. This is an experiment. And if it succeeds, it could change the face of fundraising forever.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wouldn't that be awesome? All right. Speaking of changing something forever, let's go to San Antonio and do the Technology Bytes Info Shot in San Antonio.
It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, that was pretty hot. let's see, of course tomorrow is Black Friday, so I got a couple of holiday shopping type stories. Here's one that's interesting. Google's trying something new for Black Friday to ease the headache of shopping for both consumers and retailers. Tapping its massive trove of geolocation data from app users, earlier this week, Google unveiled a new blog post about retail traffic at different kinds of stores that claims to show shoppers the least busy times of day to shop. So if you are going to get out, you could use this. According to Google, 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. are the best times to visit big box and discount stores, or you could just shoot yourself in the head instead, or sleep. Actually, I think sleep is even better. 2 a.m. to 7 a.m., the best times to visit big box and discount stores, while department stores are slightly less crowded on Black Friday than big box stores or electronics stores. So, let's see. More importantly, Google's also giving paid advertisers access to search data that allows them to tie search queries to in-store visits. Advertisers aren't being given access to personal data or to search queries themselves. Rather, Google's offering the rate of store visits based on keywords with advertisers. For customers, Google notes that the biggest shopping day for consumer electronics and cell phone stores is Black Friday, but that other stores see heavier traffic as it gets closer to Christmas. And then in case you are like the rest of us shut-ins and you don't get out to shop, there is a survey that says that 28% of Americans are driven crazy by Christmas music and decor before Thanksgiving. It also finds that they found that that online shopping helps people keep from losing their tempers compared to going out and shopping in person, which doesn't seem like a huge surprise, but still, 57% of those surveyed said that inefficient performance of their web or mobile experience made them mad too. So, so I guess you don't totally win if you don't do the Black Friday thing. And a few other quick things. The new Star Wars film has a rating, and that rating is PG-13. It's the official MPAA rating that makes 12-year-olds feel cool when they go to the theater. It's the second Star Wars film to receive a PG-13 after Revenge of the Sith. Although, to be fair, PG-13 didn't exist until 1984, so all the first three films by release order were already pretty much done. Apparently, the reason it's PG-13 is, quote, sci-fi action violence. So, other movies that were rated PG-13 today have, quote, intense situations of peril, unquote, or some suggestive content and smoking, or suggestive content, innuendo, and partial nudity, which it's probably pretty safe to say The Force Awakens will have none of those. So at least that gives you an interesting new game to play, which is what caused the new Star Wars to be rated PG-13. You can just make your own things up. And you can, you know, frankly, if you're making it up yourself, you can add suggestive content, innuendo, and partial nudity if you want. More data mining stuff. This one is kind of in the, like, interesting and not so invasive to your privacy as many other data mining things. They took a century of high school yearbook photos and revealed how the data mining revealed how smiling evolved, how it changed during a century of yearbook photos, including also hairstyles and clothing as well. So apparently in the years after the inventions of photography, most people adopted the same pose they would have used for a painted portrait, which was neutral. But that changed during the 20th century when photography became more popular. So smiling has become more prominent, and the data backs it up. The team developed an algorithm for determining the degree of lip curvature in the photographs, and it showed a clear trend in increasing smile intensity over time. So I don't know when it's going to get to when people have that big hee-haw, toothy smile, but they do show a series of pictures, and you can tell that people smile more broadly as the years go along. I forgot to mention at the beginning, at geekradio.com, not at techbytes.com. You don't want to go there. Geekradio.com, you can get links to all these stories and all the other ones that we plan to or may not talk about during the show. And in hacker news, the FBI reportedly has tracked the biggest hack ever back to a Russian email address. A hacker going by the name of Mr. Gray might have been at least a participant in, if not the mastermind behind, the creation of the world's largest stolen login credentials database. Reuters report yesterday says unsealed court documents released this past week in Milwaukee show that while investigating the massive collection, which contained details on 1.2 billion accounts, FBI agents reportedly uncovered a list of domain names and utilities the attackers used to send spam. Buried in those findings was an email address registered in 2010 to a Mr. Gray. It was all spelled out. Armed with a lead, agents scoured Russian hacking forums for posts authored by that same username. One from 2011 caught their attention, an advertisement for account information for Facebook, Twitter, and Russian social network VK users. Alex Holden, CISO at Hold Security, the firm that discovered the credential database, told Reuters this likely indicated the hacker either created or was able to access the stolen data. So I don't know. The only part that's missing from this story is them finding this douche and arresting him, but at least they know who he was. And in other bad security news, on Monday, the internet received another reminder about the sad state of its security. It was discovered that Dell decided to compromise
like we got something happened.
Are we back?
Are we back?
We were talking about hobbits.
We were talking about hobbits in New Zealand and stuff in the studio.
Did I disappear, or what's the deal?
You disappeared.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. You disappeared, apparently.
Vanished.
You dropped out.
My end, it says it muted.
Pete, stop putting on the one ring while we're on the air.
So I don't disappear.
We had that talk.
So basically, Dell, in tandem with Google, made it possible for anyone on Earth, you or me, to break every single type of HTTPS connection that Dell users were making. Basically, it was the reason that Dell put in a flawed security certificate was to, quote, provide the system service tag to Dell Online Support, allowing them to quickly identify the computer model, making it easier and faster to service their customers. So, in other words, Dell made it possible for anyone to create a 100,000-plus computer botnet for anyone to steal Dell's users' identities and financial information so they could tell what computer model their customers were using. You'd be forgiven if you were tempted to invoke Hanlon's razor in this situation. Quote, never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. There is evidence from this blog post that there was not just stupidity at play. This is not the first time it happened. This is like Lenovo did with Superfish. Dell's explanation does not make sense. It may be that this is more of a that this was maybe more of the of a at the suggestion of our government is where the poster goes. So you know, basically, they had a global security certificate that they put on the computer that was intentionally flawed, and a certificate. And so that basically opened up all those Dell users to being compromised. And so it's weird for somebody like Dell to do it. And it doesn't make sense for, you know, it's another one of those stupid things that fortunately people discovered. And so now Dell is supposed to be releasing a patch that will replace that and get rid of it. And then finally, on cool new tech stuff, and this one is too new to be a try, buy, or fry, but it is kind of interesting. It's we may be saying goodbye to Wi-Fi and saying hello to Li-Fi. Li-Fi is a wireless technology that transmits high-speed data using visible light communication, VLC, in the coming months, with scientists achieving speeds of 224 gigabits per second in the lab. That's in the lab, so don't get too excited. Using Li-Fi earlier this year, the potential for the technology is to change everything about the way we use the internet is huge. Now scientists have taken Li-Fi out of the lab for the first time, trialing it in offices and industrial environments in Estonia, and reporting they can achieve data transmission at 1 gigabit per second. Which is 100 times faster than current average Wi-Fi speeds. So that's pretty good. Li-Fi was invented by Harold Haas from the University of Edinburgh in Scotland back in 2011, when he demonstrated for the first time that by flickering the light from a single LED, he could transmit far more data than a cellular tower. Think back to that lab-based record of 224 gigabits per second. If they could get that kind of, you know, bandwidth, that's 18 movies of 1.5 gigabytes each being downloaded every single second. So it's pretty cool. It uses visible light between 400 and 800 terahertz and works basically like an incredibly advanced form of Morse code. Just like switching a light on and off according to a certain pattern can relay a secret message, flicking an LED on and off at extreme speeds can be used to write and transmit things in binary code. While you might be worried that all that flickering would drive you crazy, these are LEDs that can be switched on and off at speeds imperceptible to the naked eye. So basically, this could be like wired up through all the lights in the place, you know, in the office to do it. Let's see, the benefits of Li-Fi over Wi-Fi, other than potentially much faster speeds, is because light cannot pass through walls, it's more secure, and as Anthony Cuthbertson points out at IB Times UK, it also means there's less interference between devices. He says Li-Fi will probably not completely replace Wi-Fi in the coming decades. The two technologies could be used together to achieve more efficient and secure networks. So you know, with all the Wi-Fi that's existing, ripping all of it out to replace it with Li-Fi isn't particularly feasible. So the idea is to retrofit the devices we have right now to work with Li-Fi. So they're at the point of trials with this. So that helps. The other thing is, of course, Li-Fi, for it to work, is going to have to get deployed. You know, that's light bulbs and fixtures and wiring and all that kind of stuff. So that may not be, this may be, it may take, it may be.
And Pete's been captured by a dragon again.
Pete's been muted again. We didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't know what, it dings at least. I heard it this time, so I knew right away, but it's like randomly, because I'm talking. It's not like
Does it mute on your end? Can you unmute yourself, or do we have to unmute you?
The only thing going over here is
I can unmute myself.
The only thing going over here is every once in a while I hear Groovehouse go, "What does this button do?"
Fortunately, I was at the end of that story, so that is the news.
All right,
that button wraps up the news. Apparently.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't get to hear all of the Black Friday stuff that you went into. You did go to that.
Well, fortunately, there are links to all the stories on geekradio.com. But yeah, Google apparently has mapped when people buy Google queries, when is a good time to go to different kinds of stores. The sad answer is the obvious one, which is like to go to electronics stores, it's best to go between 2 a.m. and 7 a.m.
Yeah, there's been
so
a lot
I don't know
of,
how useful that is.
I've seen a lot of stories flying around this season about Black Friday and even Cyber Monday just being kind of diluted. Just because a lot of the retailers, they want to get people in early and they want to spend money, you know, in, you know, before Black Friday rolls around. But they still want all those dollars pouring in on Black Friday. And then they want people to spend some more money after Black Friday. So it's like they want everything. So it's, you know, it's kind of like how we used to have Cartoon Saturdays and then cable TV and the Cartoon Network and everything destroyed that. You know, not that Black Friday needs to be protected, but it, people are, you know, kind of saying, hey, you know, that one day it may be kind of on the outs.
Yeah, on the plus side, I think, you know, all the, you know, they were trying, you know, they were pushing farther back into Thanksgiving, and there was kind of a pushback on that. And so the solution, it appears to be to put it online and let people get Black Friday-type deals a lot earlier. Best Buy was doing some of a number of their Black Friday deals this week, all week. A lot of other places, if your email box has not overflowed already with it, are basically saying, yeah, the Black Friday deals are available now, and you can go get them tonight and all day tomorrow. So that's the dilution part, which is, you know, frankly, is cool if the deals are that good. There seem to be a lot of good iPad deals, a lot of good tablet deals of one sort or another where there's big discounts. The thing I wonder about is, are these really just Black Friday deals, or are they going to last through a lot of the holidays? And it's hard to know. Basically, what you want is right after Barrett buys, you know the best price will probably come. So.
Yeah, and the newest equipment. That's the sheer time. I need to do a website and somehow monetize that.
I pulled a Barrett while I was in New Zealand.
No, I see a crack on the phone case, or no?
No, that's okay. A scratch on the magnet. Okay. No, the phone is restored back to full function, mostly to full functionality, because I just unceremoniously dropped it face down.
But you were able to get it repaired.
I was able to get it repaired. I found what appeared to be a very reputable repair shop in Auckland, and I got there about an hour and 15 minutes before they closed, and they fixed it while I waited. And with the exchange rate being what it was not crippling to get it fixed. I thought, man. And then, you know, so days without smashing an iPhone, Barrett's winning right now, or a smartphone.
No, I was about to say, technicality, never killed an iPhone.
Yeah.
You need to change that story and say that you had a Maori shaman fix your phone. That would sound cooler.
I do like the new tribal tattoos you came back with. Those look solid, Jay.
The face.
They told me they were temporary.
And I heard rumors of the whole Maori greeting thing out in front of the radio station before the show.
Yeah, they welcomed me back. They laid a knife down, and you know, I picked up the knife and came in and stabbed everyone to death with it. Oddly enough, I will say this, you know, speaking of the Maori, one of the most, I guess, culturally interesting things in New Zealand is the harmony between the native Maori people and the European settlers, the way that they've got that worked out, that, you know, it would, the equivalent would be, which it will never be, would be if American Indian tribes were still fully integrated into society, you know, and had a place, you know, without being necessarily relegated to a reservation. I mean, there's TV stations that broadcast in Maori. So you can tune in to children's cartoons that have been dubbed into Maori.
Oh, so the early settlers kept all their promises, unlike, you know.
Well, there was not to say that there wasn't strife, you know, leading up to this. You know,
but they were able to preserve the history and preserve.
There's still plenty of stuff there, and you see Maori people everywhere, and apparently, it's the tattoo culture has bled over to the Europeans as well, because there's a lot of tattoos.
Bled over.
A lot of tattoos in New Zealand. I was sorely tempted. There was a number of places I could have done it, but I'm pretty much, they told me it was temporary, so this should come off. All right, so what is the next segment? We have the bite of the apple, so I have not this prepared. I suppose Pete could play it, but let's see. I can't spell show prep. I left all my W's in Sierra.
Sierra Hotel, October.
Huh, I got no internet.
Bite.
Where did that come from? Was that played from Pete's computer? Or
that was me.
You got him now.
Well, they're on the show prep page.
Well, which is not loading for me. But you played it over the actual wires instead of lowering a microphone down to the speaker on your computer.
Yes.
It sounds infinitely better. It sounds like we mean to do it.
Professionalism.
I don't know if Pete's around anymore, but
that's, you know,
that may have knocked Pete offline. Is he muted again?
I think it did.
Really?
I think that the mute came on when it did it.
All right, bite of the apple.
One apple thing, just for you to know, is in the next week or two, I'm going to come over and put a Mac Mini in at the studio for call-in stuff, and that'll have probably all the show prep type stuff on it in real time. So Apple stuff, got only a couple stories. Obviously, Apple doesn't announce a lot of new things in December, or, you know, at Thanksgiving and in the Christmas season. One of the rumors out, and this is a rumor for 2018, that Apple's going to switch to OLED screens for the iPhone starting in 2018. This is according to a report in the Thursday morning edition of Japan's Nikkei newspaper, and that Apple, they say that Apple has already begun talking to display makers to ensure sufficient supply. OLED is organic light-emitting diode technology, and it's fundamentally different from the liquid crystal displays, LCDs, used in current iPhones and iPads. Basically, LCDs work by electronically switching pixels on and off so that light from a rear panel is either allowed through or not. That's why there's a backlight. With OLEDs, a small amount of organic material exists in each pixel, and applying a current causes that material to emit light. So essentially, instead of letting, you know, if you think about it, it's like an LED puts like a green screen in front of the backlight, so it lets green light come out, where the OLED is that the, you know, I'm oversimplifying, but that the actual LED piece that it generates its own light. So it sends out green light instead of being a screen of the white light of the backlight from it. They're obviously, without having to have a backlight and the switching layer, OLED screens can be thinner. They're also more power efficient, and most people agree the resulting image is superior. It's not new technology, but display manufacturers have faced challenges in reliably and cheaply producing it in large volumes. Right now, there's enough of a supply for its inclusion in flagship phones from Samsung, LG, Motorola, and Nokia, but its use in the iPhone would require a further step in reliability and even lower costs. Apparently, LG Display is planning a multi-billion-dollar expansion of its OLED production line in Paju, north of Seoul, in anticipation of this switch. And Apple will work with OLED makers in the coming year to evaluate the technology. You know, the problem is, basically, if Apple does it, it has to be at enough volume and a low enough price to support it, because they're not going to do like half and half, I don't think. So it means somebody has to be able to produce enough for Apple to know that they can supply all the iPhones that they're going to sell for let's see, 2018. Well, it's the 6S in 2015. So it'll be the 7 in 2016, the 7S in 2017. So the iPhone 8. So we're already getting rumors about the iPhone 8. So you heard it here first, kids. And then finally,
and the iPhone 9. I'm just going to make a rumor that it will exist.
No way.
Yeah.
Rumor is it'll be released late in the year in 2020, or is it 2019? Something like that. 2020.
But it will come out. Not this year, for sure.
iFixit has done an Apple Pencil teardown, removing the outer plastic casing to reveal the pencil's inner metal cylinder. It's naked metal cylinder. The teardown provides a closer look at several Apple Pencil components, including the antenna, battery, pencil nib, lightning connector, and the logic board, which is folded. Apparently, it has two emitters in the tip that enable the iPad Pro to determine the pencil nib's angle and orientation relative to the display and adjust the pen stroke accordingly, explains iFixit. iPad Pro has a digitizer that likely determines the distance from each emitter to the screen. So it's using two different ones so it can get more information. At the core of the Apple Pencil is a tiny 0.329 watt-hour lithium-ion rechargeable battery that holds just 5% of the charge of an iPhone 6S battery, next to a small cylindrical black and gold antenna. There's also a small ribbon cable that connects the Apple Pencil's battery to its lightning connector for charging. On the other side of the battery is the logic board, which is folded. It weighs just 1 gram, yet houses more than 5 components, including an ARM-based Cortex M3 microcontroller and a Qualcomm Bluetooth 4.1 chip. So iFixit awarded the Apple Pencil its lowest repairability score of 1 out of 10. While the pencil nib and cap can be replaced if worn out or lost, iFixit says you can't get inside the Apple Pencil without destroying the device. It says the 12-hour battery is not replaceable, giving the Apple Pencil a limited lifespan. So, you know, for all of you who thought that your Apple Pencil would, you know, now you know why there were no Apple Pencils in the Wall-E movie. Well, so how did your tech work for your New Zealand trip? I mean, we heard about your phone.
My tech adventures were myriad and interesting. The first thing that went wrong, I will say this, thank God that they have, I mean, the thing about New Zealand, which is really strange, is it's in a time warp of around late 60s, early 70s. So there's tons of like Route 66 style motels everywhere. And that's the kind of places that we stayed. And so they're very kitschy, very, I mean, the signs have been updated. They're not these cool neon signs and stuff, but they're very much those kind of, you know, repeating patio things going on there. So that was kind of strange. But thank goodness for that, because they have what they call Dick Smith's, which is the Radio Shack of New Zealand. And it is a place where you can go in most major cities and buy electronic doohickeys to your heart's content. They're just there, and you go in and you buy them. And my CPAP didn't want to work when we got there. I had bought the adapters that changed the plug to the kind of plug that will plug in the wall in the room, in the hotel room. And plugged the CPAP in, and it would kind of wind up and wind down. Everything else worked fine. Charging the laptop, charging camera batteries and all that worked fine, but the CPAP said no. So I found Dick Smith's, and I went in to buy a more robust adapter. It wasn't a power converter of any kind, just an adapter. And the other weird thing about New Zealand power is that the plugs all have an on-off switch to the plug. So you plug in, it doesn't seem to work. Oh, yeah, push the button, turn it on. So I got that fixed. So thank you for Dick Smith's. What was weird for that was the part that I bought was $19.99. But New Zealand no longer has a penny. So you give them a $20, you wait there for your penny, and you get no change. I mean, I wanted a penny as a souvenir, and that's when I found out they don't have pennies. So that was interesting. The hero of the trip, though, the savior of the trip, was Cynthia's earrings, because the Garmin GPS kept locking up and failing, and I had to hit that reset button, the recessed reset button on the back, and get it to reset.
You've got to be careful when you're searching for that electronics store. I finally found it, but I may have triggered an internet filter, too.
Yeah. So, I smashed my iPhone the first day I was there. Not the first day, the second day I was there. And I found a place in Auckland. It was just a shop. That's all they did is apparently a lot of people break their phones and tablets and stuff there. And that's all they had a couple of Macs, 4-year-old Macs for sale that still looked brand new in the store. They didn't have new current Apple product, but they had the part for the phone.
Now I'm looking at the electronics store, and they've got like espresso machines for sale on the front page. You said that there was still a very big caffeine.
There's a
coffee
huge
culture.
Coffee culture in New Zealand. It's they discovered espresso machines in the 90s and they never looked back. I mean, there's espresso machines everywhere you go. If you go to the gas station, they'll make you a latte. They call it flat white. They'll make you a flat white and they'll put a fern in the foam and serve it to you. I mean, the same woman who's
fern being the
symbol,
the national
symbol of fern,
the national symbol of ferns.
No, I actually saw a real life fern gully.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently that word comes from something. So I had an adapter in the car, which allowed me to take the power out from the cigarette lighter, which they don't even call them cigarette lighters anymore. It's just a
electrical outlet.
So I plugged that in, and I've got this box that allows me to plug 4 more of those in if I wanted to. And I've got 2 of those are converted to USB, so I had USB power for everything.
Now, how are you getting data? Were you relying on Wi-Fi when you went around, or did you have the data plan enabled on your SIM card, or what'd you do?
I do what I do every trip is I go find the local carrier, and I found Vodafone is there.
Buy a bunch of data.
I went to Vodafone, bought a SIM card, and bought 3 gigs of data, and it cost me probably about $50 New Zealand, so about $35-$40, and I had data for the whole time I was there. And their cell service coverage is great for the most part. There were places I did not have any service, like in the mountains and stuff. But the
they use cat repeaters, don't they, for the most part?
Yes.
Or is that just for the data?
All powered by cats.
Cats, yeah.
Huge, giant, fluffy, winter-proof cats there in New Zealand. But the cell coverage was better than most of the internet in the hotel rooms, which I assume in more rural areas is probably satellite. It felt like satellite. Like it would go
ever
real
so
fast
slightly laggy and then kind of.
Yeah. So, technology was fine. I had all the power I needed for most everything. The car, when we got the rent car for the second day we picked up the rent car and we were getting ready to drive off. And I think it was a Renault or something. It was an SUV. Brand new, probably had 500 kilometers on it, whatever that is, about 250, 300 miles on the car. Just shiny, new. This is an awesome car. Built-in GPS. This is going to be a great vehicle for driving. Pulled out on the road, and I noticed the oil light was on. And I think, so I put in the GPS and managed to drive back to the car rental place. I said, hey, I'm a little worried about this. They said, oh, it's a little low on oil. We'll top it off. And I said,
top it off? Oh, okay, keep going.
They're going to just refill the missing oil. And I said, there's a problem with a car with this few miles on it being low on oil. And I'm not driving it out into the wilderness with an oil problem.
Oh, they did mean just top off the oil. That doesn't sound like a solution. No, we'll just put more in.
We'll just put
instead
more
of figure
in.
Out why there
we don't
isn't
know
something
why
there.
It's missing the oil. Maybe the last person who used the car stole the oil. I don't know, but I did not trust the car. So I had them swap cars. And the car I got was Mitsubishi off-roader or something like that. It was a great car, no problem. Drove that around. They don't let you take the cars between islands, so I had to pick up a Ford Kunga at the second island.
Kunga Galunga.
And I will say this. I mean, it's weird because Ford, well, all the major manufacturers in any other country make cars for that market that you can't buy here. So going back to the 60s, 70s, era thing that's going on in New Zealand, Ford and Chevy both continue to make trucks that are reminiscent of
That's cool.
The Ranchero and the, what was the Chevy one? The Chevy pickup truck from the 70s. The little low, it was like the El Camino. Yes. So you have these low profile pickup trucks, and the Chevy one is really nice. It's four doors.
Do they have reverse seats in the back, like the Brats and the El Caminos did?
I didn't see that, but those cars are cool. And the Honda Odyssey in New Zealand is a station wagon instead of a van. So the cars were cool. I really want the Chevy that they have.
You said they like their classic cars down there too, for the most part.
We saw so many vintage cars in New Zealand. It was insane because they stand out because they're bigger and brighter and shinier than anything else on the road. So we saw some old Mustangs, some old Camaros, some Mopar products. And then in Invercargill, we were down there, and there was apparently some rally of there. I counted probably about 40 before I stopped counting Model A, Model T, Fords driving around with people in period costume driving them around. They're going to have a giant car show there next year, which looks like it would be a blast to go to.
The costume thing is what gets me. They would go vintage period, you know, like full on.
Yeah, and well, it probably helped because it was cold, and those cars had no heaters. But it, very interesting. The tech seemed to be fine. They were mesmerized. Many people were mesmerized by the vaporizer. They have vaping there. The people do vape.
Technology.
He must be a wizard.
Oh, he comes from the next century.
He comes from at least... Well, no, I came from the day before. I came from the day before yesterday. I came from yesterday.
I've traveled from the past.
Their 2015 is in 1968, apparently.
So not that you were, like, spying on other people's phones, but were they more Android or iPhone, or did you notice?
I didn't really notice. I take that back. I mean, mostly the phones that I saw were other tourists.
Yeah.
So a lot of iPhones.
Okay.
A lot of iPhones.
And then internet speeds on Wi-Fi, did it seem like, you know, you're getting off the continent at a decent speed, or was it kind of like you said,
I was bouncing on and off IRC that one time I tried to tune in. But the stream worked great, which was weird, but it kept dropping me off the IRC.
Probably once you get that established stream, it's already kind of, you know, asserted its dominance, and getting the packets down to you is a little bit different than having to create new connections every time you want to communicate.
That could be. But overall, it was fine. It did not, I mean, it, there were certain, it didn't seem backward, but it definitely seemed dated. And as someone pointed out to me on one of my Facebook updates, I said, well, they are pretty isolated down there in the South Pacific at the bottom of the world.
Yeah, you're pretty far out there.
Yeah. So
was there any vocabulary, any words they used that surprised you or? You know, like in the UK, there's, you know, on a car, it doesn't have a hood and a trunk. It has a boot and a bonnet.
Well, the names for coffee, the flat white and the long black, was interesting. I didn't know what that meant, and I needed coffee to understand it. Mm. And so I had to order coffee. So I ordered just whatever. The way that they pronounce vowels is strange. So one of the things they always say is the common response was cool. Cool. So they use cool a lot, but they also use the word yep a lot. Hmm. But they pronounce it yip. And there was this one woman who, every time you say something, she'd go, yip, yip. So yip, yip was our answer for everything.
A la Sesame Street.
Yip, it was. That's what I constantly thought of, was the yip, yips in Sesame Street. So didn't seem like there was an incredibly strange vocabulary. I can't recall it. That's an interesting question. I should have paid more attention.
If it had been that different, you probably would have noticed it because you'd have said something or they'd have asked you something you wouldn't have known what
it was. For the most part, the words were the same, but the accent was very hard to understand because of the way that they use vowels. They would give a long vowel sound.
It's like the cadence of the words was a little bit different in Australia. They speak, they've got a different dialect than most Aussies do.
Well, even the north of the South Island in New Zealand have kind of slightly different dialects. But yeah, but you could be listening to someone talk. And Cynthia was fascinated because they were having a they're having a referendum on their flag. They want to change their flag because it looks too much like Australia's flag. So now they've got a referendum for a new and they say flieg.
Flieg.
And check your, instead of your mailbox, they call it a letterbox, but they pronounce it litterbox. So check your litterbox.
That famous romantic movie, You've Got Leader.
I heard a podcast with Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords and a fellow New Zealander. And apparently the way they do an American accent, the way they practice for an American accent, is they add the letter R to the end of every word. And that makes them talk more like an American.
Yeah.
Because they don't say the R. You know, it's not even the English not saying R's. It's a whole different kind of not saying the R's, if I remember right from
the Flight of the Conchords. Everything I know about New Zealand, I learned from Flight of the Conchords. But I will say this, though. The people were real nice. The food was great. Got treated nothing but great by everyone we met. And it is a fun, it's an awesome place to visit. If you have an opportunity to go there, you know, definitely go. I did all the nerd stuff. I got to see Mount Doom. It was not as doomy as it might seem from the movie. Got to go to Hobbiton, do the Lord of the Rings thing. The nerding of Cynthia leveled up because of that. That was a great tour. The whole Lord of the Rings overlay there. The plane that we came back to Los Angeles in had Hobbit, Lord of the Ring characters all over the outside.
So did you have Wi-Fi the entire way there and back on the plane?
No. Air New Zealand does not provide Wi-Fi. But we did avail ourselves of what Air New Zealand bills or promotes as the Sky Couch, which is a thing where you can buy all three seats in a row and the leg rest comes up and turns it into a couch.
Ah, this is the utensiling.
Yeah, the cuddle class thing. Yes. So that was...
You
can spoon, but you can't fork. That's on the logo for the advertisement for the thing. But that was great because Cynthia was able to lay out and go to sleep for about 5 hours. And then she got up and we changed places and I laid out for about 5 hours. So I actually got some sleep on the plane. So I should be in better shape than I am, but still struggling. All right. Well, that noise you hear in the background is telling us we need to take a short break. So we're going to take a short break. We'll come back to you after these messages. You're listening to Technology Bytes. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's Rudolph.
Every inspiring and informative experience you find here on KPFT begins with you. Your contribution enriches the lives and culture of our community, creating moments of wonder that can last a lifetime. You can make a difference today. Make a special tax-deductible year-end gift now, safely and securely, at kpft.org. You are the key to sustaining the extraordinary news and music you find on KPFT every day. Stand behind radio that matters. Make your donation at kpft.org today. Thank you. You're listening to 90.1 KPFT Houston, kpft.org online.
No importa dónde esté localizado en la plataforma política, KPFT está presente a diario en el desarrollo de la democracia. Un aspecto de la democracia es la prensa y los medios de comunicación independiente. Medios de comunicación como este se suponen ser el control y el equilibrio en el gobierno. Y la radio de la comunidad es uno de los pocos medios de comunicación que quedan que es completamente independiente. Es por eso que esta es la época más grande de consolidación de los medios de comunicación que América haya visto. El tener diferentes voces es esencial. KPFT ha estado presente desde 1970 y nosotros hemos sobrevivido a través de las contribuciones de personas como usted. usted. Radioescuchas que donan a KPFT nos apoyan porque ellos saben que eso es lo que mantiene KPFT independiente. ¿Por qué esperar a una campaña de donaciones? Usted puede ser parte de KPFT en línea, dirigiéndose a la página de internet www.kpft.org. Thomas Jefferson dijo: la gente no puede ser ambas ignorante y libre. Ayude a mantener KPFT energética. Visite la página de internet www.kpft.org para integrarse. Esta es libre de comerciales, patrocinada por Radio Escuchas, Radio Pacífica, KPFT, Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT, Houston, and now back to UnDrive.
UnDrive. It is the fundraiser that is not supposed to seem like a fundraiser. We're going to quietly trick you into going and giving money to KPFT without being bothersome about it. Shh. You can go to kpft.org. We are offering up some tickets to go to New York and be in the audience for
Democracy Now.
Is that a raffle or something?
It is a raffle, is what they call it. Yes. A raffle.
Unraffle?
Do not need to be present to win, I would assume. I don't know where they're holding the raffle.
You have to be present to go.
But you need to be there to be there.
So think about it as like a little Christmas present for KPFT.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Jay's showing me very cool pictures of vehicles. Is that a BMW or a Chevy?
That's a Holden VEU. Ooh, but Chevy's Holden. Thinking about bringing that back as a rebirth of the El Camino.
That needs to come back.
Yeah, it's if you do a search for Holden, Holden, and then VE.
What were those things called? Like the El Camino.
Sex vehicles.
Ugly.
They were kind of like car mullets.
Yeah.
You know, they were a car in the front and a pickup in the back. But there was a term for them, like a specific term.
I mean, they weren't. Mini trucks.
It's like
they
a combination of car, maybe the words car and truck or something, but I forget now.
Cruck?
Redneck Cadillac?
Trar? I don't know.
What was the Subaru with the two jump seats in the back called?
The Brat.
The Brat, yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah, so.
Man, I can't remember what the term was for them.
Yeah, apparently Chevy, I think, is one that actually makes the Super Holden Ute. It's a Ute, U-T-E, and there's two-door and four-door versions, and they really do. They look like a modern El Camino, and I always thought the El Camino was a great car. Are you having trouble?
No, I'm having trouble finding afflicted search terms.
Yeah, there's a term for it.
Oh, you're trying to figure out the word for half car or half truck?
Thanks for running to my rescue, though.
Yeah, I always hated those vehicles.
Really? Yeah. You didn't like? I thought the Ranchero was kind of ugly, but I thought the El Camino was good looking because it looked like a Chevelle SS in the front, and then it had the, you know, hey ladies, I got a truck.
Yeah, see, I could, because to me that was like, wow, the front of that's awesome. What happened to the back?
Well, it was like the mullet of cars.
In the 70s, there was actually a version that they did with a Cadillac where they took the back seat out of a Cadillac and then made there was an El Camino type bed. But basically the outer lines of the car, except for obviously where it was a two seat front instead of the four that, you know, on a Cadillac sedan, the profile of the car looked almost like a normal Cadillac.
So Ford Australia was the first person to introduce that style of car. Technically, it is a coupe utility, which is probably where they're getting the utes from.
A cutility.
So a cutility. And it was originally 1932, a letter from a wife of a farmer in Victoria, Australia, asking for a vehicle to go to church on Sunday, and which can carry our pigs to market on Mondays. So it's the mullet of, you know, 1930s Australia.
But that's what pickups
have. Oh, I found the Cadillac one.
Yeah. That's what pickups are now. Right, because it used to be that pickups really were like utility vehicles.
Wait, this
very
is not
sp- work
very
vehicles,
sparse
yeah.
on the inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, the interiors of pickups are
They're
nicer
cars.
Than a lot of cars.
There's a Lincoln version of it, too. There, I just found the
oh, gosh.
Let's see what's the name of it. It's Yeah.
Whoa.
The Contanchero.
That sounds like something from a Simpsons episode.
This is a whole spinoff. So yeah, so in 57, it looks like GMC made a special version like that, but it had a 5.7 liter V8 in it. So we're talking about getting your pigs to market on the quick like.
Yeah, my theory is the real origin was that somebody the lid, the deck lid fell off their trunk and their rear windshield broke out and they just kept using it. And then somebody noticed it, oh, it's like a pickup, but it's a car.
You got pickup in my sports car. Hey, you got sports car in my pickup truck.
Yeah, either that or a pickup rear-ended a coupe, and they just left them together. And
oh, I forgot about that one that Chevy did in the United States for a little while.
Oh, yeah, that was out for a little while.
Horrible little round.
It's like a little mini-looking truck that was dropped. I never really knew what that was. So Anonymous is on the move again. I know that's not necessarily in the news. And I guess they've been on the move against ISIS and ISIL and all that for a while, but they're drawing a lot of flack because a lot of the people in the community, I guess in the intelligence community, are saying, hey, stop taking all these sites down. We were kind of following what was going on over their Twitter accounts.
Yeah,
Anonymous, more or less Anonymous, has come in and decided to take down, I forget how many they've rooted out, but it's on the order of thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Twitter accounts that ISIS was using. And a whole bunch of websites, a whole bunch of dark web stuff, a lot of things like that. And the other argument is that, if they drive them offline in the light, they're just going to start using encrypted protocols. They're actually going to go do what everyone said, they were doing immediately after the Paris attacks. So go Anonymous, but at the same time, hold on, Anonymous.
Jalopnik calls them truckettes.
Oh.
They need to find a better way to. Somebody needs to come up with Anonymous knows how to be annoying.
Oh, and can I hop in one last time? So the main tool of the attack was they went old school, and most of the websites and most of the links. So anytime anyone would use a Twitter account to link to a picture or whatever, they would rickroll the jihadists. Which was pretty awesome. So they launched an all-out war via just annoying them, more or less. Sorry, back to you, Pete.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, the thing to do is they need to find something that Anonymous irritating people it seems to be a particular Anonymous skill, and they just need to find the right way to do it where it will irritate the jihadists.
Well, there was another story I read about that said that some of the claims of people acting as Anonymous to take down the Twitter accounts and stuff, that they may have been exaggerating or they may not actually have been real.
There have been, so anyone, the way Anonymous works is pretty much anyone can jump up and say, hey, I'm doing this, in the name of Anonymous. It's very decentralized. The way that kind of is kept in check, that if you jump up and you make really big waves saying you're Anonymous, then Anonymous says, hey, you're not us, then they'll, they'll do the same thing to you that they do everyone else. but yeah, they published, I want to say on Pastebin. No, I'm sorry, on Ghostbin. There are, and it's actually not a bad introduction, I don't want to call it hacking, because it's launching a distributed denial of service attack. But they give out two or three instruction booklets on how to go about, I guess, rooting out sites, then disrupting ISIS traffic. Using everything from the low, the low orbit ion cannon to all the regular stuff. But it's kind of nice if you don't know how to do that, or if you want to kind of view in and see what the quote unquote script kiddies are running. This gives you line by line how to install and get a toolkit up and going.
You don't say. All right.
Yeah. Well, since Barrett's doing news, here's a Barrett Con thing. it's the anniversary this week. I think was the anniversary of Einstein's first, on the E=mc² paper, I believe. So that's a notable day in science.
Yeah, we had some birthdays too. Windows just turned 30 a few days ago. I think we missed that. That was last week. And then I want to say the GIMP just turned 20. So we're hitting some decades. And not like
that. Yeah, actually, it's the 100th. This is the 100th anniversary of the year Einstein discovered general relativity. So that's a big one.
But you're still a major.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so we've had it for 100 years, and what have we really done with it lately?
Yeah, really, what has relativity done for us lately? All right, well, how about playing the next segment theme thing through and mute Pete while you do it, please? Or not.
In the geek world, we hear about new gadgets and gizmos every day. But can they stand a dip in the snart tank?
So that's new. we tested that one out while you were gone. Got a few different, a wide variety of things this week. One that may have that may have been useful to Jay, but I have to wonder about the feasibility. Airbus has shown a concept for a detachable. They got a patent for a detachable passenger airliners that would lift into the airport gate with the air be like a kind of giant flatbed. Obviously it's got the wings and the tail, and then the cabin part would be like craned in and put on the plane. And the idea is that would cut down the time at the gate to about zero, because essentially you would get to the gate and you would climb into the cabin, into the plane, and get in your seat, and everybody would be in their seats before the plane even got to the gate. And so then it would pull up to the gate and I guess pick up the current passenger cabin and suck that into the airport, and then they'd load the...
And they could actually take it off and run it through pneumatic tubes to the different terminals.
They'd throw the other one on there, and so you could ride around on a flatbed plane.
That's all great until they load your pod onto an underfueled plane going to the wrong location.
Or they forget to put the safety on. Like, oops, whoa, we just lost.
We should have buckled that crate down 12.
Put it on backward, or they don't pull the lever that clamps the cabin onto the plane.
Well, I can see that peeling off the plane as it goes through the takeoff procedure.
The pilots are high-fiving because, hey, we made this flight in half time and used half the fuel.
I'm sure it's
anyway.
I'm sure it floats.
As a parachute. It's good to see that they're thinking of ideas that might someday do something. But the problem is, like, kind of like the Wi-Fi thing, there would obviously be a lot of construction needed at terminals and to make this feasible and workable. And this may not be something that we'll ever see, but it is interesting to see, if you take a blank sheet of paper and try to figure out a faster way to get to switch people from planes. Because, it's a lot better than standing in line in the terminal. I guess I would say that. If you could go sit down in the seat and be ready, and then they just, move you into place and take off instead of spending 25 minutes while people argue about who has what seat.
There are a number, if you do a search on airplane patents for passenger stack, they have Airbus also has a patent out for stacked passenger seating.
So I think I've seen that. That's where they actually it's all in an effort to get more people on the plane.
Yeah, so you can have people sitting above you in the plane, because that's wasted space, because
they're not
letting you carry anything on. And I saw another patent for one where they had three seats, but the middle seat was inverted.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually put more seats together, but you would be basically kind of out of your peripheral vision facing two people, possibly strangers.
Like train style almost. Yeah.
It's just scary stuff.
The middle seat is horrible. I mean, there's no way around that the middle seat is bad, unless you're like in first or business first or something like that.
Yeah, the only way to make the middle seat worse is to raise it up so that your head is right next to your co-passenger's rear end for the entire flight. I call the stacked patent is the 10th level of hell version of flying.
It's already bad enough that flying anywhere sucks. Without these people trying to figure out ways to make it suck even more. I was, even when we were flying to New Zealand, the restriction, I actually think I kind of got over because when I was trying to check in for the flight, I had taken a lot of stuff that I had carried on and went ahead and packed it. So I knew that my bag was going to be overweight for Air New Zealand, which is about 50 pounds for your checked bag. But I had a problem checking in, so they had to manually check me in, and they went ahead and pushed it through, so I didn't have to pay the extra on that. But they have, like, you go to the terminal, and you go to the gate, they actually have a scale there. They will make you weigh your carry-on luggage, and it's 15 pounds for one, and then one personal item, like a laptop, and not a full laptop bag. It has to be like a satchel bag. It's crazy how much then that's getting to be more universal across mm-hmm. all the airlines mm-hmm. for the amount of stuff that you can actually carry on. So if you're like me, if you're carrying your photographic gear, which you don't want to check, you know, you're scaling down and making, you have to take people with you so you can use part of their carry-on.
You're just a mule. You're a lens mule. Cynthia
mule the lens for me to and from New Zealand because I didn't have it. My weight allowance didn't let me get it. And I still didn't have everything I wanted. So that's kind of sucking.
That's a shame. That means we can't take, like, you know, old Toshiba satellite notebooks down there either. On carry-on.
All that's left now is for them to have you take all your suitcases, yourself, and your carry-ons and have weight limits associated with the total.
Right. They should basically say – they should give people an incentive to lose weight because they could say your total weight, your body included, is this. So, like, okay, I know I'm going somewhere and I want to take an extra lens. I got to
drop 5 pounds.
I got to drive 5 pounds. For me, so it'd probably be a lot.
Skinny people could take more luggage.
Exactly. I mean, you've got to figure that, you know.
It's only fair.
If one person weighing 100 pounds is limited to 15-pound carry-on, that's the same for the guy that weighs 200 pounds. But they're not going to limit the weight of the person getting on there. They limit the carry-on. Should be the your carry-on should be a percentage of your overall body
weight. Proportionate to
right.
Yeah.
You should say you get 200 pounds. You're 100 pounds. You get 100 pounds of carry-on. You're 150 pounds. You get 50 pounds.
You weigh 220. You're gonna have to eat some helium.
You have to start pedaling.
Just my thoughts on the matter.
Well, and another try by or fry.
Oh, by the way, fry on that.
Or fall.
Yeah. Try by or die.
Here's a cheapo one for somebody who for music. Somebody who likes music. You don't want to spend a ton of money. Maybe they already have a Chromecast, the video Chromecast. There's a new thing where Google has the Chromecast audio. And basically, it's under $40. It's like $35, and it lets you add, you know, Spotify, Pandora, or Google Play Music to you know, any, like, an old pair of speakers or any, you know, a small old sound system that you've got sitting around. And for $35, that makes it it makes it a lot more workable than, you know, for a pretty low price, it lets you add that. And since it's the Chromecast type stuff, it doesn't do Bluetooth. It uses Wi-Fi so that your incoming calls and text messages won't come through your speakers when you're playing stuff from, say, your phone or your tablet to through a Chromecast audio. So that's one that there's some people that might help, you know, that aren't all set up with computers all over their house but want to do streaming audio or something. So might be a good cheap gift idea. And then this one is more sort of a general overall. And you can read the whole article by going to geekradio.com. But Gizmodo had an interesting article called "A Skeptic's Guide to Buying or Not Buying a 4K TV." Because if you look, there's like 50-inch 4K TVs for $500. And, you know, 4K obviously gets talked about, but one of the suggestions is don't just buy it because it's cheap, because that's kind of like, you know, he says shopping for a television is a little bit like shopping for a car. It's expensive and it sucks. Sales can be very enticing, especially around this time of year. Don't settle for a not good TV because it's dirt cheap, though. You might get a lemon. So the, you know, thing about a the big thing on 4K TVs is the resolution. They also call it ultra high definition, and that's a screen that's 3,840 pixels wide and 2,160 pixels high. You know, but the extra pixels in a 4K TV only give you better resolution if the screen is large or if you sit really close to the TV. If you sit 10 or 15 feet away, it's not going to matter for you. So there's that one. There are calculators you can look up and see if it looks any better. And the other, you know, I don't know. Unless you're really, I think the TLDR on this, you can read the whole article. But unless you really have high end equipment all around and really want to try this out and want to be an early adopter, I don't know that 4K really gives you anything. It's not, it doesn't give you better for gaming, and it doesn't give you any better, I don't think it really gives you any better for content, because there's very little 4K content that's available, and so it's all just resampled. But, you know, obviously it's the season and a lot of people are thinking about it, but it does seem like it's 4K seems to be a hardware without the software yet. And it doesn't seem like that's coming anytime super soon. I think there is a 4K. There are some 4K discs with movie. It's really thin, like they're 5 or 10 movies. That ones you might. It's not like it's the most popular current movies. It's a real grab bag of stuff that a lot of it might be garbage. Anyways. So that one, I guess, is sort of a, you know, you can try it. You may buy it and then decide whether it's try or fry. Another news, this one, I wonder, I'm guessing we would try, or at least, you know, if you go to the link, you can check it out. The Krampus movie, that's coming. And at one website I found has a featurette that you can watch that talks about the folklore of Krampus and gives you some more info and maybe gets you psyched up for the movie, which, you know, this isn't like a sci-fi channel, you know, crummy, you know, we got a good title and then squeaked out a script in 2 weeks and hired unknowns with one guy that you've heard of before to do the movie. This has got like a really serious, it's got a real cast of actors that you actually have seen in stuff and have heard of. So go check out the Krampus featurette.
You heard it here first.
Go to geekradio.com. And then the last one, and this one is, Thunderbolt sounds like it's Mac-centric, but you can get Thunderbolt on PC stuff. Otherworld Computing announced the availability of the OWC Drive Dock, a new docking station that allows creative professionals and other users of large amounts of data, like photographers and stuff, to easily hot swap and quickly access, store, and transfer information from bare SATA drives. The OWC Drive Dock is compatible with both Mac and PC systems and has two drive bays that can each accommodate either 2.5 or 3.5 inch drives. The key features on this dock are a pair of Thunderbolt 2 ports, one USB 3.0 Gen 1 port. They really need, USB needs to work on their naming, because now you've got USB 3.0 Gen 1 and Gen 2 and all that. But one USB 3.0 Gen 1 port encased in an aluminum fanless enclosure. An internal universal auto-switching power supply means no external power brick is needed, so that's good. And then here's the key numbers for you. The OWC Drive Dock rapid read-write transfer speeds with Thunderbolt 2, it's 522 megabytes per second and 470 to a read and 477 megs to write. USB 3.0 speeds are not quite as fast, but still fast, 427 megs to read and 347 to write. And obviously all this speed doesn't come super cheap. You'll be halfway to $500 to buy one. But they do include a Thunderbolt cable and a USB 3.0 cable. So kudos on throwing in the $9 feature on your expensive dock.
Yay.
Or you can go watch the Krampus thing for free. But yeah, if you use a lot of storage and you're doing lots of different projects, having a dock, I use it for backups for some of my clients. And the nice part is you basically just take bare metal drives, bring it in, copy the files, copy the backups that need to go external, and then take them off site.
Speaking of music, there was another thing in New Zealand that was odd, is they're really like 60s and 70s music too, but I discovered a thing that they really like Spotify. And I learned more about Spotify than I knew about Spotify before when I was there. A lot of the restaurants dial in Spotify stations as the house music. And there was a Spotify station that I found that was, I had to ask them about it because they were playing all these songs that I knew what they were, but I didn't like them. But I liked the versions I was hearing. And it was a station on Spotify that only played acoustic versions of pop songs performed by other artists. So there was an acoustic version of Wrecking Ball, and it was fantastic. It was just absolutely wonderful to listen to.
And who's the original by?
Miley Cyrus.
I mean, I hate that song. I hate Miley Cyrus or whatever. I don't like her, but I was listening to this, and it's like I recognized the chorus of the song, and it was really good. And there were a number of other songs like that that were, pop 90s and 2000s and 2010 songs, and they were really good. They were performed in just a different – they were performed really well. It was like Muzak to the next level, way next level.
Did they like it when you kept requesting Land Down Under while you were there?
Oh, they love that, I'm sure. No.
Get Jay Lee full Miley Ray Cyrus box set for Christmas. Done. All right.
The acoustic version by acoustic the storyteller's version. Version with Miley.
Let me see. I think I might have found it here.
The acoustic version by the Weebles.
the Wiggles?
The Wiggles. We checked our hearts and then we charmed, never
asking why. We kissed our hearts. The show has come to this.
It all just sounds like Ed Sheeran. Ugh.
It's very innocuous when you're having a fantastic dinner and a bottle of wine.
It's a Spotify station of all songs. Covers done by Jack Johnson.
Barefoot.
Well, I guess I do have one other thing under the snark tank that you can evaluate for yourself, and it may be helpful for this long weekend, especially since it sounds like the weather is going to go from warm and moderately rainy to cold and more rainy, depending on if the forecasters are right. The AV Club, the Onions AV Club, has 25 shows to binge watch over the Thanksgiving weekend. And technically, I don't think you could watch all 25 because there's not enough time, but you can choose amongst they have 25 suggestions. So if you're looking to kill time tomorrow, and now that, since there isn't, I know Mystery Science Theater has got a Kickstarter to try and reboot and have a new show. They're not around. They don't have Turkey Day, so you don't have the kind of rolling Mystery Science Theater Thanksgiving thing that many of us had in the distant past. And that's linked off the Geek Radio website. You can find that and see what you think of. Obviously, you have to have like Netflix and these different streaming type things because you can't binge watch regular television, but mostly it's Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon's the one that's interesting, and I don't have Amazon, but that I wonder about is The Man in the High Castle, the Philip K. Dick one, where the idea of what if the Nazis won World War II.
Did he just get muted again?
No, just wondered if anybody else had a thought on the Man in the High Gun. You know, it is actually, for once, it's a Philip K. Dick thing that they, like, really did the...
They're going to do it right.
They actually followed the... You know, they didn't just take two paragraphs out of a short story and turn that into a four-hour movie, but so far the reviews seem to be good on it, so that might be one if you're...
I've heard good things about...
If you get your Nazi on over your Thanksgiving, you can do that.
I've heard good things about that. I do realize we just messed up. When we took the time machine back to restart the show, we should have, you know, taken out a certain...
Killed baby Hitler?
Yeah. Man. Undrawn. Every single time I forget about that.
I think we should have taken it back to last week and gotten more tamales, because those were very good.
Yeah.
Jay wasn't here for that.
Was there tamales?
Yes.
We had a pre-show. We had a pre-show meeting.
Breaking of the bread.
West Alabama Ice House.
Yeah, we need to discuss some things without you there.
I wasn't there. I did my part.
Yeah. We had a team meeting. We're gonna fire.
Did you wake up at like 3 a.m. and have your ears burning?
I didn't go, Jay. I was like, if Jay Lee can't be there, I'm not going either.
Yeah, we called for a vote of no confidence.
Hooray!
He passed.
I'm off the hook.
Fire new me. Parliamentary version of the show. No, we didn't. We didn't even talk about you at all.
You all committed fireable offenses while I was gone, so I have that to lord.
Hey, we got our Wednesdays back.
I will say that when I'm not here, Groovehouse gets a lot more chatty. Oh, we get to pick on Jay. You just see Groovehouse lighting up.
Oh. Yeah, he was talking about that at the ice house.
Yeah,
you're keeping like, down, man.
I've been sitting around all week just thinking of these zingers I can lay on Jay since he's not here. I've got my little book of Jay flows.
Thanks for that, Groovehouse.
He said, "Finally, I get to say something more than cuckoo."
That's flicked.
Flicka doesn't say cuckoo. He just smiles when you do it. It's special. It's a moment.
It's a moment.
All right. So how about the next bumper?
We can do that. And then we got to fill the rest of the show, because that's because this is the final segment. Oh. It's the final countdown.
Undrive.
True. Why don't we do that, and then we'll do
We want to let you know, we're going to remind you again that KPFT is conducting a fund drive, which we are calling the Undrive. We're not spending the entire show.
We got that.
What?
We got the F out of fund drive.
Flickman was so amused with the thing he was about to say.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying, but I started laughing. I couldn't say it anymore.
You can drop your money in the tip jar, kpft.org.
Yeah.
You can definitely do that.
If you want to, you know what, we're a little short on cash towards the end of the year. We don't want to wind up and do, you know, a whole fundraising thing. So we're doing what we call the Undrive. And we've got some really cool thank yous going. We're going to be bringing out some more. I know there's a talk of a foodie card where you can use this card to participate at different restaurants.
You're joking, right?
Read the list.
No, that's true.
We're going to have different editions, right? We're going to have the Allison Cook foodie card, and it's going to get a fight with the Catherine Shilcutt foodie card, and it's just going to be a big old foodie bonanza. And Inflicted is going to get us started on foodies again, and there's going to be, you know, there's going to be money for that. So it's a foodie card. So you spend money at different restaurants, and percentage of what you spend there, they will give to KPFT.
Only if you photograph it and then post it on social media.
I think that's extra points.
Okay.
Could be.
Fuzzy on the rules there.
It brings the prices down to
two ideas. We had two ideas for the Undrive. We were going to like have people around town ringing bells with a pot that you could just toss your tip jar stuff in, but somebody had already taken that gig, and so we need to do the
curse
online. We're going to go cyber for it.
Curse that red Satan. My Wi-Fi keeps jumping over to the Xfinity Wi-Fi around here and kills my internet.
The Papa Roach Wi-Fi?
Papa Roach.
Yeah, I would disable auto-join on Xfinity Wi-Fi, because that's...
Probably.
There's a lot of stuff that says it's Xfinity Wi-Fi that is not Xfinity Wi-Fi.
Oh, you think that might be a vulnerability to just join networks based on if they have the
maybe. I'm just saying, like,
he told him knowingly.
A lot of the tech stuff that used to, like, we talked about Yosker and we talked about a lot of the, you know, the attacks against Wi-Fi, and those attacks were, you know, your computer would go out and go through, like, every single, and we're not killing time, we're taking up time here, that's why we're talking about it. So it would go through pretty much the list of all the Wi-Fi networks you've ever joined, and it would say, like, hey, is this Wi-Fi network out there? And it'll say, like, yes, I'm that Wi-Fi network, and your computer will actually join. So not everything is vulnerable to that like it used to be. Now you kind of have to know the name of the network that, you know, the person's going to try to connect to, and there are a couple ways you could do it. One, you could, you know, site survey and see what's around, and then, you know, like, pretend that you're one of those. The better way, though, is if, wow, what if, like, some nationwide, or even, you know, it's just limited to Texas, what if, like, some Texas provider went and set up all these access points with the exact same name? Wouldn't that be awesome? And then someone came and did it. So yeah, don't have auto join on Xfinity Wi-Fi. That's just a bad idea is the short of that.
Right.
But that's the new way to get broken into.
We do have some, there's some thank you gifts. One of the things they're doing that's really interesting to me is the raffle to go to New York and be on the Amy Good, you know, be in the audience for an Amy Goodman show. It's a paid trip to New York. And, you know, as long as things stay calm and the airports stay open. That was a little worrisome for me when I was traveling, because it seems like every time I go overseas, something horrible happens in the world. So the only English TV shows you can get are, like, local sitcoms. New Zealand, they weren't dubbed into English like they were in Spain. But weird little sitcoms and Sky News. And Sky News, of course, was all Paris all the time. It's like, geez, Louise, come on, world. Don't fall apart while I'm away. Wait till I get home, because this is going to make traveling suck. But at any rate, you can contact the membership department at 713-526-4000 at extension 314 to make a donation to KPFT, or you can pledge online anytime by going to the pledge.kpft.org, or just click on the tip jar if you want to make a donation. We're just quietly trying to raise some money here before the end of the year. If you're grateful for KPFT, now's the time to go online and make a pledge. That would be awesome. All right, so now we're going to do the last thing.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious science.
Well, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and the president has signed into law the asteroid mining bill. It's actually called the U.S. Commercial Space Launch Competitiveness Act, because I always have to have words like competitiveness in there for some reason. He signed it into law following Congress's approval, which lets companies keep whatever resources they collect beyond Earth. As you might imagine, hopeful mining outfits like Planetary Resources are relieved. While the odds weren't that high that the government would confiscate their minerals as soon as they landed, the act removes any ambiguity. It may be a double-edged sword, though. As mentioned earlier, the CSLCA also shelters space companies like Blue Origin and SpaceX from regulatory oversight until October 1st, 2023. The idea is that it'll help these young firms get private spaceflight going as quickly as possible, but also raises the possibility that safety and other important considerations will take a back seat. But, you know, now it's passed and signed, so we'll have to see if commercial space companies can grow both quickly and responsibly when there's no one looking over their shoulders. I'm guessing since they all, you know, I think one of the positives, it's not like some lines of business where the founder just wants to cut corners to save money and you know, try to be competitive. The people who have these space companies are guys who want to be able to get on their ship and go to places, you know. It's not Richard Branson isn't going to, like, you know, stint on the shielding on his ships because he's trying to save a few bucks. Because at some point he pretty much wants to get on there and go to, I don't know, a space Hilton or go to the space station or whatever on his own, on his own company's stuff, you know, and Elon Musk and some of those and Jeff Bezos. So hopefully that means they won't, you know, cheat on the safety stuff right now while there's kind of no, I guess I would think you might want to think about it if you're going to be one of their test pilots. You may want to make sure that your contract includes info about, you know, what kind of responsibilities they have to you if they muck up the safety stuff. And this was planned beforehand, but it is before the bill was this bill was signed. But apparently NASA has ordered its first manned mission to the International Space Station from SpaceX, meaning between Elon Musk's group and Boeing, who are sending up a Starliner in 2017 also. We are going to be putting people into space ourselves. In other words, sort of American companies and American rockets and ships putting people into space again in 2 years. That's from NASA, and this is from NASA's press release. The authority to proceed with Dragon's first operational crew mission is a significant milestone in the commercial crew program and a great source of pride for the entire SpaceX team, said Gwynne Shotwell, president and chief operating officer of SpaceX. When Crew Dragon takes NASA astronauts to the space station in 2017, they will be riding in one of the safest, most reliable spacecraft ever flown. This was before they announced that they wouldn't have any liability, so maybe they changed this afterwards. I'm kidding. I don't think they would do it. Commercial crew launches will reduce the cost per seat of transporting NASA astronauts to the space station compared to what the agency must pay the Russians for the same service. If, however, NASA does not receive the full requested funding for the contract in fiscal year 2016 and beyond, the agency will be forced to delay future milestones for both U.S. companies and continue its sole reliance on Russia to transport American astronauts to the space station. So, you know, it's still there's still Congress still has to weigh in, but it does look like we are on the way to having private companies be able to take crews up to the International Space Station, which is kind of a cool motion forward. And that's all the science news. So now we just got to fill the rest of the show.
What was that thing you were starting to play there, Afflicted?
That may not have been intentional, or was it?
No, I was doing something with Q, but evidently it didn't.
Did play instead of Q?
Yeah, the red light wasn't on for over the air, but evidently it decided it wanted to do it anyway.
Neat.
So donate to KPFT so we can get the board fixed.
Hire a board operator who knows what he's doing.
Hey-o!
So the random muting and playing of things and not muting can maybe stop.
When we get that new Mac Mini in here,
we'll see what happens. I'm hoping that by putting it on the like physical network and having a fixed IP for it, that'll help maybe insulate it against some of the ups and downs of the KPFT network. I think part of it runs through, like, you know, the wiring all runs underneath the building, and some of it isn't wire anymore. It's just like rat skeletons or something. That's why our internet comes and goes. Yep.
When are you going to come down and do that? I got to get power supply for you.
Either possibly next Wednesday, but I would bet more heavily on two Wednesdays from now.
Okie dokie.
The like 9th of December.
All right, so Barrett, why don't you do Barrett time anymore? Oh crap! Speaking of Barrett time,
yes,
we're gonna do. How was the Geek Gathering last month?
I thought it was pretty fun. It was I guess sparsely attended, probably because we just had the big 20th party, you know, 2 weeks before that.
Yeah.
Wasn't it also rainy, or did it not rain?
We were able to sit outside. We've been dodging the rain for the most part. But, yeah, Afflicted was there. I was there. Koja was there. We built some projects. A project. There was either elementary school or middle school project being collaborated upon for some kind of a STEM project. So that was going on. But yeah, it was fun.
I guess we're going to have a Geek Gathering, is it next week? Or is it the week?
Next Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, next Friday.
Yeah.
I don't think you mentioned Blue Origin during Weird Science.
Yes, I did.
You did?
Oh, we missed that. So, yeah, we've got a used rocket lying around in Texas, which are few and far between on the ground. Because most of the time you don't get them back.
Yeah. Where's...
I didn't mention their practice launch, but they did come up in the...
I heard their name mentioned, but no, I meant specifically that they launched a vehicle from Van Horn into... Not into orbit, but into space, mm-hmm. because they passed the line that's technically space. It didn't go into orbit, though, but into space, and then the actual launch lift part came back down and landed vertically, like within 4.5 feet of the middle of the landing pad, which is pretty nice.
Would you call it a vehicle, or did it? To me, it looked more like a flying sex toy.
Hey-o. Yeah, with the part on top, yeah, it did kind of look like that. But that separated.
There were no women on Mars. That's
yeah, that separated because that's where the people would go up in the front, and so it was just the. Yeah, I'm not going to use that word. Just the large cylindrical part.
The rocket.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was pretty crazy because yeah, it looked pretty awesome. I watched the video. The video was a little bit lame. I mean, they had some like CGI stuff. It was a little bit schmaltzy and it was kind of an advertisement. But the actual video of the live footage of prep before flight, the flight, and then the landing was pretty cool to watch. And I mean, some people were kind of building up like, oh, they beat SpaceX because SpaceX has been trying to do a vertical landing of their rockets for a while. But as soon as somebody said that, you know, people immediately came in and said, well, yeah, this isn't that big of a deal because, they kind of went overboard the other way because they were like, well, you know, SpaceX is orbital and this is just suborbital. I could do that. I could do that with, parts or whatever. And it's super cheap. It's not like an orbital flight. Anyway, what they did, I think, is pretty nice. They accomplished something that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no one had done that since, I think, like mid-60s, late 60s.
Well, I think
there was a year.
SpaceX had done like a grasshopper test or something. They did a test where they didn't go orbital. I don't know that they actually crossed the space boundary, though. But they did do some vertical test enough that they were like, okay, that's good. Now we're going to do it with our start trying with our orbital vehicle. But I mean, they did beat SpaceX.
It's their model, you know, that the whole reusability is a key part of their model. So this is a real step. You know, yes, it's suborbital, but it is. Well, you know, the idea is they did prove the concept,
right? And the thing is, that's their business model, right? I mean, SpaceX's model is to go into orbit, to send things to the space station, to be orbital flights, right? But Blue Origin's current thing is they want to do suborbital, but into space, detach and have, I think it's like 6 seats or something in a module. And then that module will kind of float there for a while before it begins to do reentry. So you're like, they're basically selling seats to people who would have short term, like 6 or 8 minutes or something of in space weightlessness before reentry.
And I've heard now that there's that law where they don't have any liability, that they're considering one where they send 6 people up and then you vote and 5 people come back.
It's called Custom of the Sea. Yeah, so this was the first time that a vehicle has made it into space and had all the components fully recovered for reuse since the NASA flights of the X-15 projects in the 1960s. So it's been better than 50 years since we've been able to get a rocket up and get it all back down in one piece.
Yeah, and the positive for Blue Origin is that they succeeded where SpaceX has had a number of attempts and they've had issues.
Yeah. However, SpaceX
they were
is
doing a lot
way
tougher
more
version,
difficult.
A lot,
yeah.
lot tougher challenge.
First of all, SpaceX's rocket is way larger. It's also coming from orbit it's coming from an orbital
not higher
shot.
Up. Yeah.
Right. And also they've been trying to land it on a platform in the sea. Right,
so which rocks and moves.
It's a
yeah.
moving platform, and like, yeah, it's a much higher degree of difficulty.
So yeah, I should have included that one in the news, but you picked it up, so that's cool. What are people's? Did anybody have like unusual plans for their Thanksgiving, or is it all pretty much the typical?
I'm going to tempt fate with my friend who's deep frying two turkeys again this year. So far, no deaths or house burnings.
My brother deep fried a turkey, I want to say 2 years ago. That was the first time we'd ever done that, or I'd been around anybody who did that. And yeah, before we did it, we watched some, I was going around showing everybody videos of, you know, online videos of people dropping frozen turkey straight into the hot oil and things exploding. So that, yeah, that didn't happen with us.
I heard a promo on a local public radio station, for if you're going to smoke a turkey, and if it's the first one you've ever done, their key advice was buy a second turkey and roast it in the oven because it's not good, because you're going to screw up the first one no matter what. So there's that. Some, of course, now it's too late for you to go buy it. I guess you could rush out and buy another turkey. But yeah, if you're going to do something experimental, you may want to consider having that fallback, so that you're not doing the. I worked at a place, small startup. It wasn't a technology startup. It was something else, but that I'm not going to. I don't want to reveal who it was, but they had it was the founder's like mother came into town, and they were this place was really. Not were unwell, and they tried to cheap out for Thanksgiving for the employees, and so they bought one of those packages where it's the whole Thanksgiving dinner, but they didn't read that it wasn't, that none of it was cooked. It was just all the stuff for the Thanksgiving dinner. And so they went at 10 o'clock in the morning to pick up the food for the company Thanksgiving thing during the workday, and rather than just giving it up, they tried to cook the food in the 2 hours before the before the lunch, and it was sitcom worthy, I guess I'll just put it that way. It was terrible. That turkey was just almost black on the outside and pink and raw on the inside.
Wow.
They're like, well, normally you cook it for 6 to 8 hours, so we've got a third of that time, so if we triple the cooking temperature, that should work.
Of course, then they look at the oven, and it's like, well, it should have been at 350 degrees, so unless we've got a kiln. So, yeah, we took a different approach. We had Thanksgiving, kind of had it today, and instead of doing the turkey thing, I went and got I went to Lockhart and got brisket and smoked many pounds of various smoked meats that we had for our dinner.
Nice.
Yeah, we had to accommodate different schedules, and so Wednesday worked out best. So you're lucky I'm not in a meat coma right now, but it was delicious. And from San Antonio, you can get to Lockhart in under an hour, so I was pretty thrilled. Because I could do a brisket, you know, if you've gone to the store if you've priced brisket lately, have you gotten a quote on a brisket lately?
What's it running?
That's what it's gotten expensive, and I guess having all these barbecue joints opening up has not helped. And so to buy a brisket, like a normal sized brisket, now is $50 or $60,
dang,
depending on where you buy it. And so I did the math, and it's kind of like, well, I can spend 2 hours in the car and go get brisket that I know is done, that's done right, and I probably spend about the same amount on buying the cooked stuff as I would have spent to buy the, you know, stuff that I still had to take home and spend 18 hours cooking. So that was my clever plan for Thanksgiving.
What about you, Flicted?
I think as of sometime last night, my plan became to be sick for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's my plan.
I don't know. I kind of feel like in, you know, my sinuses in the back of my throat.
Yeah, it's getting a little itchy.
Some point last night, yeah, it started getting itchy and my sinuses started clogging up some. So I think I might be sick for Thanksgiving.
Mm. Is this because you don't want to go somewhere, or do I actually need to keep distance between you and?
No, I'm actually here for Thanksgiving Day.
Now I feel sick.
So you don't want to cook? Is that the, or is it really just you're not feeling?
No, I'm really probably. I think I'm really actually going to get sick.
Great.
I'm glad I had all that eggnog after you.
Well, he didn't drink it right from the bottle.
I didn't drink it from the looking. I licked the lid, the rim of the cup, you know. But
he drooled as he peered into the neck of the bottle.
Well, you know, I wanted the rim of the cup to like glisten so that it would look more enticing, like like on TV.
So the nutmeg crystals would stick to the edge of the glass. You licked the rim of it. So we moved up from, I guess last year it was Soylent, and this year it's eggnog, huh?
Now we need to combine the two.
Huh. And I'll form the egg.
Soylent with eggnog would taste.
Soil nog.
Soylent nog.
Nognent.
You know, I did have some almond eggnog, like almond milk eggnog. Mm. It's okay. It's not the same.
You can have Soylent. That's hard to say. Can you do a? Can you switch out Soylent Green with Silent Night for me?
Soylent Night?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's how they sing it in New Zealand, I think.
I think that's what was giving me a hard time. That's not Soylent.
I think that's in New York.
East Coast.
Soylent Night.
Soylent Night.
Soylent Night.
It's Soylent Night, though, isn't it?
I don't know. Whatever's written on the flag. Check your litter box. All right, I just created the update post for the Technology Bites Geek Gathering, so if you want to go to geekradio.com, it's all the information you need.
Week and a half.
Week and a half from now.
Undrive.
And this one should be, Jim Thompson should be there with his iPad Pro, and I think he should have the pencil. So if you're interested in seeing that one in person. And
is it a blinking pencil?
The blinking box, I'm guessing, will be there to distract other people from the iPad Pro, but he should be there.
Pad?
I'm sure he's putting LEDs all over the iPad Pro as we speak to make the Blinkin' Pro pad. But so that should be good. I don't know if I'll be able to make it, but I'm going to try.
Well, if you show up, I'll have a power supply for you. All right. Well, we did it. We filled the time.
Perfect show.
Undrive.
Undrive. Go to kpft.org. Learn about the Undrive. Make a donation. Help us out. We'd love that. Thank you. And good night. You've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Tune in next week. Come to the Geek Gathering next week. Bye.
Soylent Night.
Wayne Bradley here. When you support KPFT as a listener member, you get a great feeling that comes with contributing to keep your independent local community radio station on the air, and you also have the right to vote in the election of our board members. As with any election, candidates make a variety of statements about what they can and want to do. Pacifica's bylaws assign 13 specific tasks to our board members, and you can view our bylaws at pacifica.org. We at KPFT encourage you to read the candidates' statements also at pacifica.org. The station depends on your vote and your involvement in the process. KPFT is required to reach a quorum and must do so to move forward. If you feel you should have received a ballot by now but haven't, contact our election supervisor Natalie at kpft-les@pacifica.org. Thank you again for your support of KPFT Houston and for your vote in the 2015 local station board election. When you donate a car, truck, motorcycle, SUV, RV, or boat, we can turn what's often a burden into great educational programming. As the year comes to a close, we want to encourage you to let it go now and create opportunities for local arts, music, and culture to flourish. KPFT's vehicle donation program offers fast, free pickup and towing from anywhere, an easy donation process, and one of the best charitable tax deductions around. Call 1-855-KPFT-CAR or visit kpft.org to donate. Again, that's 1-855-KPFT-CAR to help out with that year-end gift. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, KPFT.